Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sydney, the combo of the great combination of 2016, the combo of 2016 continues.
The combo of 2016. That sounds like a new flavor of combos.
They're going to have like eight combos flavors in 2016, though. Like, there's no way we could just pick one. Buffalo Blasted Ranch Buddies, I'm sure it will be one.
You think they're going to have all these this year? Like, they don't exist yet?
No, I think, like,
there aren't Buffalo Blasted Ranch Buddies?
No, Buffalo Blasted Ranch Buddies came from my mind's eye. No, the combo of 2016 is that we have managed to swing Tarzan-like from show theme to show theme, finding connective tissue through each of them. And if you, there's clues in each one to find out who the real killer is. But
no, who got killed?
Dun, 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 dun. So far
we haven't dropped from the vines,
yeah,
stone-like into the jungle.
It started with hemophilia.
Yep.
And on hemophilia, we mentioned hydrogen peroxide.
Yes.
Hydrogen peroxide, we mentioned...
How'd we get to earwax from there? Because I said it...
Oh, it was good
People kept asking, but what about hydrogen peroxide? Isn't that good for ears?
So now, here we are.
Talking about ears some more.
Ears some more.
Apparently ears grossed people out.
Yeah, some people had some problems with that, huh?
Are ears gross?
I don't know. It's hard for me to say.
Sometimes I feel like a space alien asking you these questions,
mm-hmm,
because I don't think ears are gross, and I know what ears are and I know what gross is, so I feel weird having to ask the question, are ears gross? But are, like, am I missing ears, that?
They
is
don't
that
particularly just gross I'm me not? Out.
Okay.
No, I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk more about them then.
Okay, you're the boss.
I thought maybe we could talk about ear aches.
Yeah, that's fine by me. I'll allow it.
Okay, well, thank goodness, because I don't have anything else prepared.
Good.
So, I mean, unless you just want to hear about, like, my day, because, you know, you didn't ask.
Oh, wow.
So here it is.
So how was your day?
I mean, it was fine. It was okay.
Glad I asked. So what's the deal with ear aches, Sid?
Well, first of all, thank you to Jennifer and Emily for both mentioning this topic. And when I say earaches, let me just clarify. I'm talking about anything that can cause ear pain.
Okay.
Because as with a lot of medical conditions, before we understood the anatomy of the ear and the different causes of ear pain, you know, what germ theory of disease and what infections are and why it matters if there are different bugs in your body and all that stuff. Before we figured all that out, all we knew is that our ears hurt.
Right.
Right.
When you're talking about ear pain, even I know that ear pain is really a symptom less than it is a disorder, right?
Well, yes, obviously, yes. That is it is a symptom of a problem. Typically, pain is a symptom of a problem. And so when we say earache, we're talking about otalgia, which is just ear pain. Mm-hmm. And
anybody recommend this, by the way?
I already said that.
Oh, did you say? I missed it. Sorry.
Jennifer and Emily.
Thank you, Jennifer.
They get a double thanks.
Double thanks.
Because of Justin's forgetfulness or probably not paying attention.
I'm paying attention.
So there are some different things that can cause ear pain. One is an infection of the middle ear, which we also call otitis media, which is what you think of with, like, little kids getting ear infections. When you think, mm-hmm, about that, that's probably what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's behind the eardrum, and the eardrum gets all red and bulgy, and you see pus back there. And you see that a lot, like I said, in kids. We could also be talking about an ear infection of the external ear, like the ear canal and beyond, that's called otitis externa.
Okay.
And that's also what we're kind of talking about when you hear the term swimmer's ear.
See, I always thought swimmer's ear was like when your ears got waterlogged after you went swimming.
Well, yes, getting the water in your ear is the kind of the precipitating event for the problem, but it's really like an infection and then inflammation and irritation of the ear canal that results from that. So it's not just the presence of the water.
Okay.
That's just water in your ear.
Got it.
I don't have like a fancy name for that really.
Okay.
I could probably make one up and use Latin and you'd think I was impressive though.
I already think you're impressive.
Thanks, hon.
No problem.
And then there are lots of other things that may have caused ear pain at any given time that we would have treated in the same way. I'm going to tell you about a lot of weird treatments for earaches, and probably all this stuff was lumped in together. While these two that I've already named are the most common causes, you could also, again, you could have fluid in your ear that could be causing some ear pain or pressure. You could have referred tooth pain.
Okay.
So if you have a problem with specific
kind teeth, of radiating up.
Yes, exactly. It's like referred through different nerve branches to your ears. So it feels like your ear is the problem,
but it's really not.
But it's actually your teeth.
Like how a heart attack can sometimes radiate to your like arms.
Sure. Yeah, like that. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm killing it today.
You're all over this.
Yeah.
And also like TMJ, problems with the joint that celebrity helps you operate gossip. Your jaw. I don't think they're TMJ.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
There's something else.
TMZ. My mistake.
That's the one they are.
That's the one.
I didn't know. I was hoping you would fill it in. I knew it was something else.
I mean, I guess it's my fault.
I don't get my news there. I get my news from Justin.
That's true.
And so like TMJ could, for instance, cause some ear pain too. So anyway, nobody ever knew really why these things were happening, why your ears hurt from time to time. It took us a long time to, you know, create smaller devices to look inside the ear and figure out what was going on. So basically, instead of that, we would just try to pour things in our ear and fix that way. There were a few theories. When we talk about like the four humors and that theory of disease, that you have four humors in your body that need to be kept in perfect balance in order for you to have perfect health, there was a thought that an earache or really any ear condition, ringing in your ears, problems hearing, anything, could be caused by too much of your humors kind of pressing against your ear. Mm-hmm. So if you just had a lot of humors up there,
yeah,
makes sense. That would cause an earache. There were some other theories that I actually found more current ideas, that ear infections are caused by not breastfeeding.
Which like the mom's ear infections or the baby's?
Like a baby's going to get an ear infection if you don't breastfeed the baby.
That makes more sense.
And that's probably linked to a misunderstanding of studies that have shown a decrease in certain kinds of infections in infants who are breastfed, including ear infections. But that reverse logic doesn't work. You know, if breastfeeding correlates with a decrease in ear infections, that doesn't mean that formula feeding causes ear infections.
It's correlation, not causation.
Exactly. So that's false logic. The prescription of antibiotics, I saw that a lot of places. If you took too many antibiotics, you'd get an ear infection.
Is that legit?
Well, no. I think, again,
it make it harder to treat, maybe? Does that make sense?
Well, I think that's what they're trying to use stuff that's real to create, you know, false conclusions. The idea that you're treated with a lot of antibiotics and so you can have more resistant infections certainly is a concern. But the idea that I would take an antibiotic and then get an infection in my ear from I don't understand what they're, that's no.
Okay.
Just no.
No.
And then I saw a lot of people claiming that it's an inflammatory reaction to cow's milk.
No, that, now I can tell you that one doesn't make sense.
No, that doesn't make sense. Whatever the causes people believed or didn't believe, there were a lot of weird ideas for treatments throughout the years. So,
weird to us modern folk. Not to them. It probably seemed pretty normal to them, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's start with the first one. This is an example from ancient Egypt. This was a commonly used treatment for ear infections, actually several different like infectious processes. So not, I mean, I say ear infections, they didn't know they were ear infections, for ear pain. And you could use this for a lot of different painful conditions. You take a mouse.
Okay.
If it's already dead, good, you're halfway there. If it's not, make it dead.
Somehow.
That's up to you, really. Mash it up.
Ugh.
You want it to be a little decayed. It's better if it's a decaying dead mouse.
No, can't.
Not so
can't.
Much like a fresh dead mouse.
I took my headphones off, but it didn't help because you're right in front of me.
And then you're going to mash that into a paste of dead decaying mouse?
No.
And then you're going to put it in your ear?
Absolutely not. I'm not doing that at all.
I thought you didn't have a problem with ears.
You monster.
Justin has a problem with mice. Justin has a big problem with mice.
None of the stuff on the show bothers me, except for the times when it super has. This one, woof's a daisy. Okay.
That was a really popular treatment for a lot of different pain complaints. But specifically, you would just put that mash, that paste into your ear.
Sydney, how bad does your ear hurt? Like the worst, right? Like the worst hurting.
A lot. Yeah.
For a long time. Because you're definitely not waiting for it to pass. Oh, that's so grody, though.
I've never had ear pain to that extent, personally.
I've never had any pain to that extent. I amputate my leg and I still wouldn't put a dead mouse paste on it. Ugh.
So see what I'm saying?
That's what pesto is, though. Did you know that? A lot of people don't. That's pesto.
Is dead mouse paste?
That's what pesto comes from. A lot of people
don't know that. No, it doesn't.
Yep. Pesto. Yeah, that's what pesto is.
No, you know what, though, you can use to make pesto is basil.
Okay.
And garlic.
Okay.
And strangely,
pine nuts.
The oil of basil and garlic were both used as treatments for earaches throughout history. Put
Why
some
not?
Garlic oil in your ear, put some basil oil in your ear, then put some pine nuts in your ear and
you gotta
shake your head up.
You got a penne going.
A really popular treatment, especially as we look to like early American treatments, like, you know, in the 1800s, 17 and 1800s, you see warm urine being used for ears. And actually, that is something I have heard in my practice today as like a folk remedy, like just get some fresh pee and put it in your ear. I mean, preferably your own, I guess, sure. Just because like it's yours.
It's easier to get fresh, too.
I think everybody has.
It's like farm to table. It's like toilet to ear. You know, like you know where it's been. You don't want to get this like GMO stuff.
Hey, this is Sawbones, Justin and Sydney here. We're launching the toilet to ear revolution.
Yeah,
we'd like you to start, you know, using local urine.
Local,
for your ear?
Locally sourced, shade-grown urine. By shade-grown, we mean, please remember to leave the toilet covered down.
Free-range urine for people who pee outside.
Yeah, pee outside the bowl, I guess.
So urine was a really popular treatment. Another thing, again, this is something I've still heard, is blowing tobacco smoke in your ear. So like, take a puff of cigarettes.
I feel like maybe we talked about that in our tobacco episode, right?
We did mention it. You could also just, if you didn't want to do the tobacco smoke, you wanted something more concentrated, you could stuff a lot of,
you could just vape
right in your ear. Then for the healthier option, someone's ear
smells like strawberries.
No, you could stuff a lot of chewing tobacco in there.
What if Plenty was like, the old ear pain, hey, well, just blow some cotton in there, vape lord. Like, what are you talking? He's lost it. Get the hemlock. We're putting him down.
Hold on, wait. Is vape lord a term for people who vape a lot?
It's something of a derogatory term for people who love to vape.
I think. Not just something you made up.
No.
I've never heard this term before.
I might have. It's probably somebody I know.
Can I call you Vape Lord now?
I'd rather you didn't.
Okay. So, yeah, you could also just stuff a lot of chewing tobacco in there. Again, preferably, I guess, that you were chewing on and not someone else was chewing on.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Either ideally.
Way. Although, if you think about, like, these treatments were probably mainly enforced on children.
Mm-hmm.
It probably was something that, like, mom or dad or grandma or grandpa was gnawing on and then was like, here, stuff this in their ear.
Why not? I need a place to put it.
I think we mentioned this on our episode about breastfeeding, but breast milk has been a popular treatment for ear infections, which again, like, that's kind of weird logic. Like, we know that babies who are breastfed maybe have slightly lower rates of ear infections, but that doesn't necessarily mean you could squirt some breast milk in their ear.
Yeah.
And that it would fix things.
These are all like topically applied, right?
Yeah. These are just things you're just squirting or blowing or stuffing in your ear. Again, like the next one, lightly toasted salt pork.
Yum.
Just take a wedge of it and shove it in there.
Just get it in there, I guess. How big is your ear, dog?
Well, I mean, you cut it. Like, you sure. can cut this.
More like a pork rind at that point.
Stuff a pork rind in your ear.
Put a pork rind in your ear. At least it'll be there later.
I'd rather do that than eat a pork rind, frankly.
Chicharrones. That's Mexican in Spanish. It's chicharrones. I like that term better than pork rinds. It sounds more appetizing. So when I was on Adkins, I would refer to them as chicharrones because it sounds better.
It does sound fancier than pork rinds.
Sounds fancier, yeah, for sure.
Either way, I don't want them.
Yeah.
Vitamin C, of course, has been proposed. Now, this is actually something you could just, you know, take vitamin C, like by mouth. You don't have to stuff it in your ear, which is, it's used as a treatment for everything, right? Cedar tar was one strange treatment I found that you would put inside your ear.
That seems destructive.
Yes. Hemp juice. Likewise, cannabis in general, I found on one of the, now granted, while this was something that people have done throughout history, there are a lot of people on like cannabis websites who are promoting, like, buy our cannabis lotion or our cannabis ointment and put it in your ear.
If you want.
If you want, I guess, sure, whatever. If you want. Dove's blood was one particularly gruesome.
Yeah, like.
I mean, you've got to obtain that.
Sure, they're not going to. You're not going to put a little needle in there and get a pint. No, sir.
No. I mean, I guess that would be the nicer way if you could find a dove and, like, get it to agree to donate blood for your ear.
Give it a little Debbie afterwards. Get a sugar back up.
Some orange juice and cookies.
A little thimble of orange juice.
You could also try. This was something strange that I found. Take some salt. Warm it up, like in the microwave or whatever. Wrap it in a washcloth and then just hold it near your ear for 5 minutes.
Come on. That one's not even worth I want that to be lost to history. I'm editing that out because I want history to forget about that stupid cure.
I saw the same thing though with like an onion. Like you could take an onion, wrap it in a cloth.
On the onion. That's what happened.
I saw it. You could wrap the onion in a cloth. You could put that in your ear or near your ear. Same thing, or like a bottle of warm water that you could hold near your ear and it's going to absorb. All these ideas are that they'll absorb the pain, the salt, the onion, the water, that it's going to somehow like suck the pain out of your ear and absorb it.
Okay.
Is the thought process.
Sure.
Of course, vinegar. Of course.
Natch.
And of course, olive oil. Of course.
Of course.
Or vinegar and olive oil. I never understand these places where you'll see like, use some vinegar or use some olive oil or use vinegar and olive oil. Why would you use both if one works?
If you're not making a salad, I don't know.
All right, this will go great with the garlic and the basil that you already have in there. Does a tomato work? Why not? Let's say it does. How about
some croutons?
How about some cheese?
Cheese, that'd be nice.
Then, like I said, tea tree oil is recommended for a lot of different things, mustard oil. And then finally, crushed mango leaves.
Okay.
Were a remedy that I found.
This is wild, man. We're trying everything, huh?
Yes.
You know, I think we tend to get a little bit a bit more woolly and wild when the thing we're trying to treat is external or like... basically external. I think we tend to be a little bit braver when it's not like your stomach. You know what I mean? We're right. Like, you're going to have to eat it. Like, you're going to have to swallow it. Like, I think we're a little bit more experimental with stuff that's like, you know,
that you just kind of rub on you. Yeah, you
like
really...
Baldness, there was like 100,000 things for that, you know.
I think you're right. You really see a lot more kind of caution thrown to the wind when it's something you're just going to put on the outside of you because we think like, well, our skin will protect us if it's dangerous.
Sure.
I've seen that actually people use like aspirin pastes that they put all over them for various complaints. This is unrelated to ears, but I've just seen that as if it's like, well, it won't be dangerous if you just make a paste out of aspirin and kind of smear it all over you.
Okay.
That is dangerous. Do not do that. You do absorb that and you can get quite sick.
Oh, good.
But I think people don't know that because it's like, well, it's external.
Sure.
Well, Justin, I want to tell you about some more crazy treatments for ear pain.
I'm ready, Sydney.
But before I do that, why don't you come with me to the billing department?
Let's go. I said, don't keep me in suspense. I know we've got some other cures.
Yes.
For cures. Those are my audio quotes. How do those work?
Cures.
Cures.
So one thing that I thought was particularly disturbing, again, this kind of dates back to early American days, the early days of our country. One thing that people would try to do for an earache is find what was called a Bessie bug. Also called a Betsy bug.
I've never heard of this.
It's a kind of beetle. It's basically one of those real big black beetles that have like the pinchers, like the little things on the end that can like bite and they can fly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're unpleasant looking. So if you can get over that, you just need to grab one when you see it. If you have an earache, I'm assuming, don't do this for fun. This is just obviously for medical reasons.
Not for kicks.
You pull it apart. And that there is a some sort of yellow sac inside that contains, or there's a sac inside that contains like a yellow fluid. I don't know if this is like a bladder, or I have no idea. I don't know anything about bug anatomy. So
if this was a role-playing game, it would be like create a salve that you use to rub on your blade to give it lightning powers or something like that.
Well, it's similar. You just squeeze that fluid into your ear.
Same thing, basically. Same principle.
I don't think you get a lightning blade out of it.
No.
But your earache is supposed to go away.
Sure.
I would say it probably doesn't. I saw a lot of advertisements for chiropractic readjustment to cure your ear infections. I don't know that I have evidence necessarily for that. I'm not necessarily saying that chiropractic readjustment would be bad for you in that case, but I don't think it would help with your ear infection.
Fair enough.
And then, of course, homeopathy has to weigh in on this.
Sure.
Why not? So if you have an ear infection or an earache and you go to a homeopathic practitioner, they might suggest that you take some potassium chloride, except they won't tell you that. They'll tell you it's calimuriaticum.
Okay, sure.
And you can use that if you've got like not only a stuffy ear, like a stuffed up, like your ear feels like it's full of fluid or something and some hearing loss, but also if you've got like a runny nose and some big tonsils, they'll tell you like, oh, don't worry, we have some calimuriaticum for you, which really means we put a drop of potassium chloride in some water, which we put then in some water, which was then in some water and blah, 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 until we have like basically some water.
Okay.
Or you could use mercurius dulcis, which is just mercury chloride. Again, same kind of process. And that's if you have retracted eardrum. So if like the eardrum is like pulled in tight, as mm-hmm. opposed to bulging out at you, it's like pushed back.
Sure.
So, and both of these really are just water.
Yeah, they're just water.
Yeah. One of our favorite friends of the show, one of our recurring characters, if you will, sure. is Pliny the Elder.
Sure. I know Pliny.
Now, Pliny always delivers when he shows up on Sawbones. He always brings the goods with some sort of, I don't want to say crazy medical cure. Yes. Definitely made up. When it comes to ears, Pliny cannot stop talking. Pliny the Elder does not have enough to say about ear pain and ear infections and ear problems.
Okay.
He has like a cure for all of them. So let's really get into this. And this isn't even all of them, by the way. I got to a point where I was like, okay, this is enough. I could do an entire episode on Pliny the Elder and your ear.
Yeah. He can't wait to get in there.
So one of the things for just ear pain in general that Pliny would recommend is, and should I clarify, like Pliny was a naturalist from ancient Rome that we talk about a lot on the show because he wrote about like the natural history of everything, all plants and animals and life on earth. Plus
he's the only one who thought, he probably has more notoriety because he's the only one who thought to like write all this stuff down. Everybody else is just spouting out their butts.
That's true. And he wrote it all down. It's all out there. And he had a cure for everything, every condition, and multiple cures for many. And the only reason people keep asking, like, do a whole episode on him. I don't think that it would be endless episodes. It would be episode after episode because he wrote about everything.
Plus, we don't want to burn all our Pliny material.
No, because it's some good stuff. For instance, for your earache, you could take some mice ash.
Can we not?
Which, again, would involve you first, you know, burning a mouse.
Sure.
To make the ash.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it. How's your day, mouse? Pretty bad, huh? Sorry, buddy.
I know. I feel really bad for... I am not, by the way, endorsing murdering any mice. Please don't.
I'm into it.
Well, Justin doesn't like mice. I am telling you, don't kill any mice. These are just funny, like, haha, laugh about it, and then move on. Don't kill mice. Mice ash with honey or rose oil, either whatever you prefer. I mean, there's already mice ash there, so that's the important part. You could also use a centipede. that's pounded into a pomegranate rind.
Okay. Sure. I mean, sure. Fine, Plenty. Fine.
You've got to find the centipede and capture it first, though, and that would freak me out.
I think some of this is just like people were so bored. They just needed something to do.
Catch a centipede and pound it into a pomegranate rind is what they came up with?
That's like, listen, Daryl, yes, I'd love to come over, but I've got a full day booked. I am hunting down, hunting down a centipede to grind it into a pomegranate rind. I read a bit's a new treat, but I read about in that hot magazine, Stone Tablets. And I'm just really excited to get out there and get on the hunt. So,
but it's endorsed.
I can't come to your daughter's rock throwing recital.
But it's endorsed by Plenty, so you know it's got to be good.
It's Plenty. Like, it comes from Plenty.
He's like the Dr. Oz of our time.
Yes,
the time before Dr. Oz.
actually, a soothsayer named Draws was the Dr. Oz of their time, but they're close. Plenty's close.
He's the Dr. Phil of their time.
Maybe, I don't know. I think that's probably Socrates.
Oh, okay. We'll figure it out. So let's say you've got some water in your ear.
Okay. That's happened to me before.
Just put some goose grease and onion juice in there.
Great.
Then you won't care so much about the water.
Because
now you got the goose grease and the onion juice in your ear.
Yeah.
If you get a creature in your ear, as we mentioned last week, that poor unfortunate woman on Survivor got that worm in her ear, you could put some vinegar and mouse gall in there.
Again with the mice.
The mice are popular ear treatments. I don't know what that association is.
Apparently.
Maybe because of Mickey Mouse and the big ears?
Yeah.
No, probably not. No. For ulcers in your ear, you could mash some earthworms or some redworms into some grease and put it in there. If your ear is bruised, you put some salt into the mouth of a preserved lizard. So you like take a lizard, tie it by its tail from a like clothesline and hang it there to dry and then put salt in its mouth and then put that on your ear.
Sure.
If your ear is broken, you need some snails with some frankincense or myrrh or honey.
Okay.
Deal. If your ear is smelly.
And it is.
Sure. Serpent skin with rose oil. Pus in your ear, saffron, or a dirty cricket. Not a clean one. A dirty one.
Not one of those prim and proper crickets.
And in general, it's a good idea to keep a concoction of dormouse that you have skinned and disemboweled and boiled in honey on hand for any ear complaints.
These mice.
These are all of Pliny's recommendations.
These mice just can't catch a break this week.
One interesting, before I tell you what you actually need to do about your ears, one kind of interesting side note is something that you may come across called Tektite solution, or actually there are some like over-the-counter products that are based on this Tektite solution. So where does this come from? This is something that you could put in your ear for swimmer's ear is what you'll see it marketed for. Tektite was an underwater habitat that was built off the coast of the Virgin Islands in 1969. It was like the first federally funded underwater like place where, you know, people, divers could go stay to study, obviously, like the ecology of coral reefs, but also to study like the effects of being underwater for a really long time on humans. So like physiology and the decompression sickness and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Which, by the way, this whole thing, this underwater habitat was built in a place called King of Prussia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Which is one of my favorite named places.
There's a mall there. King of Prussia Mall.
Yes. It's like one of the largest malls. I don't know if it is still the largest mall, but it is one of the largest malls.
Is probably the biggest.
Well, I don't know.
I don't have the stats on hand.
The Bloodhound Gang is from King of Prussia.
Okay.
So is Joe Bryath.
That's true.
Those are all the facts I know about King of Prussia.
Thank you.
And also, the underwater habitat was built by GE there. Anyway, the point is, a lot of these divers got swimmer's ear. And so they had to come up with something to do for all this external ear infection. And they created the solution of acetic acid, tannic acid, and alcohol. And what we've actually found is that acetic acid, I don't know if it's necessarily as good at treating an outer ear infection as antibiotic. When I started looking into some of the studies, it might take a little longer. And if it's a really serious infection, you're not going to want to mess around with acetic acid. But if you put that in your ear, it might actually help prevent. Like if you are going to be a diver, somebody who would be at higher risk to get swimmer's ear, it actually might help to prevent ear infections. And there are a lot of products that you can buy that help to keep your ear canals dry. to try to prevent that. Mm-hmm. And they're based on this tech type solution.
So what do you actually do, Sid? That sounds kind of real, but what do you recommend?
So first of all, if you think that you or your child, because you see this a lot in kids, have a middle ear infection and otitis media, you go see a doctor. You might need antibiotics. Not necessarily, though. About 70% of children get better on their own within 2 or 3 days, and about 80% are better within a week to 10 days. So you don't always need an antibiotic, but you should get checked out, because sometimes you do. If you think you have the external ear infection or swimmer's ear, again, it's a good idea to get checked out, because a lot of people do need ear drops. So okay. That's when we would use those ear drops, antibiotic ear drops, sometimes steroid. Keep your ears dry. You can keep the water from collecting there, like blow them out with a hair dryer after you get out of the pool and that kind of stuff. Keeping your ears dry helps to prevent it. And maybe acetic acid. Either way, you want to talk to a doctor about this stuff. And all that other stuff, if I haven't said it enough, just go see a doctor, like if your ear hurts, because they can look in there. Like, we have special tools. They're called otoscopes. And we look in your ear and we tell you why it hurts. And it's great.
Go for it. Doctors, check it out. Thank you to Sydney McElroy for co-hosting this program with me.
Thank you, Justin.
And thanks to taxpayers.
Our daughter, Charlie, is awake, so I'm going to go get her in just a second.
Okay, well, then let me wrap this up by saying thanks to you for listening. There's a lot more great shows at MaximumFun.org. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.